All right. We're all on the same page then. All right, if you're going to Children's Church, Friends Church, ready, break. This is for 1 through 6. One through sixth. If you are in seventh grade, you have graduated. And you get to listen to me. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You get over it. It's all right. I'm going to need 4 chairs. Can y'all, each one of y'all bring me up a chair? And just line it up in front of this baptistry here while I talk to the folks here. That's one. We're moving. Good thing I started early. Line it up right against that thing there. There we go. They got it. We're going to move it. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. Never mind, the chair is being moved behind me now. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read a really long passage, but I'm just going to focus really on one verse in that passage. And then we're going to take a section from 1 Corinthians, and we're going to consider that verse. And really what we're going to be talking about is in the battle is real. The battle for your soul and my soul is real. The battle for who's going to get glory out of your life and my life is real. And what I want us to know is, where are we in that battle? Okay? And we're just going to look at that in a real simple way. And I hope by the end of this service that you'll be able to identify yourself and say, this is where I am. And if nothing else happens in this service, you'll at least be honest between you and God and say, this is where I am in this battle. My prayer further than that is that you would say, I want my life to glorify God. I want to make a volitional choice to use my will and my heart to glorify God. I pray that would be my response every day. Okay, but we're just going to take a look, an honest look. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26, this is what they say. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Father God, we've heard your word. Would you please apply it to our heart? Father, remind us. Remind us that the battle is real, tugging inwardly on us, in our mind, in our heart, even in our hands, our actions, our words. We're confronted daily with a choice to follow along the lines of the world and the flesh and the devil, or to glorify you, to yield to the Holy Spirit of Jesus in our life. So, Father, would you instruct us today, teach us, show us exactly where we are in you. And Lord, we do love you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 5, verse 17, it's going to be our focus verse. Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 17. And it just tells us very matter-of-factly, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. You can look in some other translations, and they'll say, the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh is a battle. It's a war. Your life is the battlefield. Joyce Meyer is a popular Christian author. I don't have to introduce her, but she had a book real popular, Battlefield of the Mind, where this struggle, this fight is happening. It's a battlefield in your heart, in your life. Who's going to get the glory? Who's going to win? Can I tell you, if we read to the end of the book, God wins. Okay, God wins. Let me just tell you that. Ultimately, in this world, in His creation, God wins. But do you? Can I tell you, you only win as far as you're attached to God. You and I were created in the image of God to bring glory to God. And there's nothing more offensive to our spiritual enemy or even to our own selfish nature than to set our own agenda aside or the world's agenda aside and embrace the agenda of Jesus Christ for His glory. Nothing provokes our selfishness more than saying, I'm going to live for the glory of God. Just think about some of the things Jesus taught us, how provoking they are. He said, if someone slaps you on one cheek, curl up your fist and punch that dude right in the nose. Wait a minute. That don't sound like what Jesus said. He said something more like, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other one to them. Jesus said weird things like, blessed are the poor. And I don't care what status you're in, poor is never seen as blessed anywhere on this earth. But Jesus had a way about them. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, He said. When's the last time you felt blessed because your heart was broke? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is not the way of our world. This is not what our flesh wants to hear. Anything that's done outside of faith isn't going to last. That's in the epistles. It's in the New Testament. Anything that's not done by faith won't last. So what does that mean about your legacy? What does that mean about your name? What does that mean about your fame? What does that mean about your purpose? It means that your purpose really isn't about you. And if you make it about you, it won't really last. You are created to bring glory to your Creator. But when you try to move in that direction, you will experience resistance. And it's not from the man out there. It's not from the government. It's not from UFOs and aliens who are trying to manipulate us for their purposes. The resistance you will find is from the person who you look at when you look in the mirror. It's going to be from your own selfish flesh, your own desires. It's going to be from you. James talks about sin, and he says, don't blame it on God when you sin. Because God doesn't sin, and He doesn't tempt anybody to sin. He says, but each of us sin when we're drawn away by our own desires. Our own desires to be safe. Our own desires to be important. Our own desires to be valued. Our own desires to be right. Our own desires to be comfortable. These are the things that fight against what God wants to do in your life and my life. And we're going to talk about that. I have four chairs up here. If you have your handout, it was in your bulletin. It says at the top, the battle is real. It has our verse. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things you wish. Probably can give an amen. I'm not going to go through that whole list of things that are the evident fruits of the flesh. That's a pretty long list, and it wasn't even the end of it. He just had to say, and et cetera, and et cetera, and on it goes. But I want to take three categories And I get these categories from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm just going to read this quickly, 2:14 through 3:1, and you'll hear three categories. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. I have four chairs up here, and these four chairs represent preachers who squeak the speakers. No. They're going to represent those three groups. These two chairs are going to be in the middle, locked together. And we're just going to talk about these chairs. You might not be able to see them from where you are, but I'm going to stand behind them. Can everybody kind of see the chairs? A little bit? There are chairs here, I promise. What I want us to talk about is where we are in this battle. Okay? We're going to use the categories that are provided to us from the Scripture. The first one's natural, the natural man. What it means to be the natural man, where it says he does not receive anything from the Spirit of God. He doesn't care about the things of the Spirit of God. It says they're foolishness to him. This is the man who relies upon his own strength, his own reason, his own intellect, his own resources. This is the man who is not born again, man or woman. This is the person. This is the person of the world, okay? They have no interest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have no interest in spiritual things. It's foolishness to this person. This person is cut off, is estranged from Jesus Christ. Every single one of us at one point in our life sat in this chair. So there's no reason to have pride. Nothing that I'm going to say today, by the way, although it's strange sometimes to categorize people, I'm not here to insult you, to guilt you, or to shame you. I've sat at one time in every one of these chairs. I've been the person who cared nothing for Jesus Christ. I've been the person who cared nothing for God, that wasn't born again, that did not receive the blood, that did not receive from the Spirit of God, who didn't care, who was lost in this world without hope. I was even reminded of that person last night. Oh, this sounds weird. I had a great time. We went to the baseball game with the youth. And I remember how easy it is for me to act a fool. Because that's what I did. Your pastor acted. I didn't get arrested, and I didn't do anything immoral. Which, that's the big difference between when I rarely sat in this chair and since I've been saved. Because I would have been out on the field, on the dugout, swinging, swaying, and everything else, because we were just having a good, rowdy time in the Lord. But I was reminded of it, and it just kind of made me laugh. You can have a good time in the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. But I was just reminded of the time when I sat in this seat. I was reminded of the time when I'd go to the ball field and just be tank drunk and just acting a fool in front of whole bunches of people and just howling and hooping. And I was just stone cold sober yesterday in the Lord, howling and hooping, embarrassing our youth group. I had two of my boys with me looking at me going, "Nah, that ain't my dad." Everybody else going, "Nah, I'm not sure if that's my pastor or not. You know, who is that guy?" They were questioning me. Just had a great time in the Lord. But I remember when I didn't care anything about God and I only cared about having a good time, when I only cared about what was fun, what made me feel happy, what engaged me. I was just full of selfishness. And now I'm different than that, and I still like to have a good time, but that's not who I am anymore. But that's who I was. Maybe you're here right now and you're like, "Dude, you got like less than 20 minutes to tell me something I don't know, because I really don't care about this stuff, and I got dragged here to church by somebody who loves me, and I just told them yes so they'd get off my back." Maybe that's you. Maybe this is my short period of time. If you're sitting in this chair, let me just tell you, you are in the most dangerous position you could ever be in your life. This is the chair of greatest danger. So I don't know if you've had your eyes open. I don't know if you read the obituary, but it comes out every week, twice a week in this small town. And you know what they have in there? They have the obituaries. And I read the obituaries. I make sure I'm not in there first. First things first. Am I in there? No. Good. I can go on. But then I look at the ages. This person died when they're 83. This person died when they're 76. This person died when they were 25. This person died when they were 40. This person died, and there's all, you know, it's not just old people that die. Y'all catch that? We all know that, right? You don't get a certain duration of life promised you. You don't get all the time in the world to make up the big decisions about God. You get this lifetime, and if you are in this seat, cut off from God, not caring, it's foolish, I'll have time later. You don't know what kind of time you have. You are in a dangerous place when you're in this seat. And you know what? The craziest thing, it may not even seem dangerous. Because if God's not on your radar and you're not concerned for these things, you may not have any thought in the world about things of God or eternal life or judgment. And maybe that's why you're in church today. Like, man, I didn't come for you to bring me down. I didn't come for you to give me that hellfire and brimstone. I heard so many people, I used to go to this church, and they preach hellfire and brimstone. Can I tell you, if you're in this chair, you need to be concerned about hellfire and brimstone. That's just the truth. To live this life without God and to go to the judgment cut off and estranged from Him is bad news. Okay? I don't have to go anymore, right? Y'all get it. Bad news chair, cut off from God. This is the natural man. I have two seats here. This is the carnal. This is the carnal Christian, okay? The carnal Christian is somebody that the Scripture addresses. They've made a profession of faith. They've asked Jesus to save their life. God has come on their radar screen. They've said, yes, Lord. They said, yes, Lord. Okay? So they've made a step up. Y'all, I'll take people in these chairs all day long. Although this is not where you were ever made to be and stay, than in this chair. I know that it's really popular to down the church because there are so many fruit loopy hypocrites that call themselves Christians that go to church. They're barely, like, acting like they're trying to barely get saved. They act like the world. They act like the devil, and we get all, like, the church is backwards and all crazy. Can I tell you, if you've been saved, I applaud you. I don't care anyways. That's going to be glory to God someday. Okay? I'm not trying to justify babies in Christ. But I'm just saying, being in Christ is a better place to be than not in Christ. But if you're going to be in Christ, you are not meant to stay a baby, a whiny, change me, feed me, crying baby. It's not where you were meant to be. It's not what you are destined for. These folks don't bring glory to God until they die. That's it. The Scripture actually says all the works of these people will be consumed in the fire of judgment, but they themselves will be saved as through fire. That's it. That's the one time they're going to glorify God. Everything they worked for, they come to their grave. These folks, much like these folks, will come to their grave with regret. They're not cut off from Christ, but they're useless. They've been spat out. Not to hell, not to condemnation, but these are the lukewarm. And they come in two varieties. Those who hide outside of the church. I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church because, you know, there's a bunch of hypocrites and I can read my Bible and all that stuff. One of the most hypocritical statements ever made. I don't go somewhere because they're hypocrites. Give me a break. Where do you hang out with your hypocrites? You rather hang out with them at Walmart? You rather hang out with them at your own house? You rather go to the Redbirds game and see the crazy pastor talking in his Irish voice trying to get a rally in the bottom of the ninth? What? Where do you want to hang out with your hypocrites? In the gym? At work? You point me out someone who's lived perfectly without hypocrisy. And I'm going to tell you, if you find them, I know where you're looking. You're looking in the gospel, and you found Jesus Christ. They're somebody perfect without hypocrisy. Everybody else, y'all like me, you got it on you. And there's folks who hide outside the church, and they justify it. They say they got their feelings hurt. Well, I say, so what? Grow up. Pull your big person pants up and move on. You're going to live in this world without offense? Then you're going to live in this world in a way that the Bible said you cannot. Because it says in this world you'll have trouble, and in this world offenses will come. So if you decide to stay away from the body of Christ because you've been offended, then no, you're in this chair. You are a baby. You're just a baby. That's okay. But we don't throw babies out of the church, do we? Do you all throw babies out of your home? Have you ever seen somebody yelling at a baby? What's the matter with you? Why don't you go to bed? Why don't you eat right? Why don't you do this? Why don't you dress yourself? You're like, they're a baby. He's 8 months old. Can I tell you something? Some people, they only come to church on Easter and Christmas. Praise God. Keep coming to church on Easter and Christmas. It's okay. Know that you're not destined for this seat. It's not where you're supposed to be forever. But if this is where you are and you're hiding outside of church and you're within my voice today, come back to church. It's okay. Nobody hates you. No one's against you here. Even if there's some judgmental people, there's people who don't like smokers. There's smokers who don't like non-smokers. There's people who argue at people if they sit in their chair weird. I've had people complain to me and say, I'm going to come to church, but this one guy was kept playing with his wife's hair. Everybody's now like, and it distracted me. And everybody's like, stop, like, hands down. And I'm sitting there going, so you choose to not grow in Christ and bring glory to God because a dude two rows in front of you is flipping his lady's hair and you're offended and distracted. That ain't the hair flipper's fault, man. You need to realize that something going on in the sermon should make you persevere on through that. Hey, if you get distracted easy, and I know this goes all against all kind of Baptist lore and theology, move to the front. Move to the front if you get distracted easy. If you get offended easy because you think somebody's moving too much, there's people moving too much. Get up to the front. Sit right here where Jay is. Jay can't see nobody but me. You're like, I don't want to move to the front. But don't make excuses for why you're a baby hiding outside of church. Come and get the food you need. Come and get the challenge that you need. There's nothing wrong with being a baby while you're a baby. There's something wrong with being a baby once you've been in church for a couple decades. You're still welcome, but don't do that. Grow up. Grow. Fly. Come on, little eagle. Now, there are also carnal people. And let me just say something about these people. These people are confused and confusing. They're confused and they're confusing. They're confused because every Sunday they're still trying to make up their mind if they're going to go to church or not. They still haven't got to that point where they've developed some habits and disciplines, and it's like, am I going to go? I don't know. I'm in this. I'm in this. They're confused. People look at them, and they're like, are you in? I don't know. Are you out? I don't know. Are you in? They don't know. It's so easy. It's like these people almost fit here lifestyle-wise. It's like this is kind of how they live. They live lost. They live like functional atheists. They're like, I say I'm a Christian, but it's about as deep as it goes. But they're not. They really are Christians, and we want them in church. We don't want them to be confused. We don't want them confusing people out there because they keep saying they're Christians. And yet, these people, I'm convinced, do most of the griping about the body of Christ. So they're like, are you in? Are you out? What's your deal? These people, they're also carnal. This is not a step up from here. Most of the time when I see this four-chair illustration, they have these chairs separate, and they're like, you're either lost, or you're carnal, or you're just not spirit-led, you're just a cautious Christian, and then you're, you know, an on-fire Christian. I'm hooking these things together because whether you're carnal outside the church or whether you're carnal inside the church, it doesn't really matter. You're still carnal. You're still a babe in Christ. These are the people inside the church. You know, the church is said to be a body, and there's different parts to the body. These people are the appendix. We're not quite sure what the appendix is for, and we know that if it gets really upset, it can swell up, blow up, and hurt the whole body. But that's what these folks are. They're in the church. They're the appendix. They can be turned into something a little more, but they are the appendix. They're swollen. They're red. And they're going to be like, I know somebody is in here going, he calling me. He's talking to me right now. Hey, if I'm talking to you right now, it's the Spirit of God. Promise. I promise it ain't me. All right, it's God talking to you. If you're a big hairy mess and you're in the church and you're a troublemaker, let me say this. One, you're probably not in this church because we don't have a whole lot of politics and we don't have a whole lot of hairy mess. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Man, I love that. But there's still people who hide out in church. They're cautious. They walk, they're kind of wise, and they seem wise. But it's like they don't believe God can do anything. Hey, let's try doing this. No, we've done that, and we've tried that, and we can't do that anymore. Hey, let's do this. Let's reach over here to these people. No, those people aren't really our people. Not sure about doing all that. Hey, don't you believe God can do anything? Yeah, he can do anything, but within the realm of our own reason and imagination. They're hiding. They hide in plain sight. They hide in church. Now, again, y'all, I'm just saying, sometimes this is how people hide in Christ Community Church. I guess I just need to say that. You just come and you go, because we don't have a big political structure. We don't have committees on committees that tell people where to go and kind of get pumped up with power. We don't have like a deacon board or deacon body or elders or stewards and all that stuff who can like crack the whip and, you know, do all these things. Like in other churches where you'll hear, like, I was just talking on this mission trip to Detroit with a fella who belonged to a church in another town, and the church got together. It divided the church. They were split, and they ran the pastor off. How do you get a group of people to run a pastor who's preaching the Word of God faithfully, who's not caught in immorality of any kind, not even remotely, and they get a people to run this guy off? How do you do that? Because there's a whole bunch of people sitting in the church who are babies, who are fooling. You know, they're there because their dad was there, and because his dad was there, and because grandma went there. And because everybody went there. And because it's just right to go to church. These are carnal folks. Coming to church does not make you alive spiritually. Coming to know Christ makes you alive spiritually. Walking with Christ makes you grow spiritually. I read in that passage, if you have the Spirit of God, then walk with the Spirit of God. Not by your best wisdom or your best guesses or your best or by your own fears. These people are categorized by fear. What will they think if we do that? How can we afford that? What can we do? Why can we? It's like, stop. Trust God. Don't just be a baby up in here. For y'all who just come and go, keep coming. I'm glad that you're here. But I want something to stick. I want you to walk out of here. Miss Amy said, how are you going to walk out of here? I want you to walk out of here and say, is my life just about me and church as a part of my life? Or has my life been consumed with Christ and I want to do something for his glory and I'm going to walk with him? Don't be afraid. What if God calls you? What if you yield yourself up to God? And what if he calls you to be a missionary in the worst part of the world you could ever think of? That's what everybody's fear is. I would yield to God, but he might call me to be a missionary somewhere, and he just might do. So what? Do you believe that God can bring you to heaven, but he can't provide your needs as a missionary on earth? Do you realize how weird that is? He can save my soul, but I'm not sure he can provide for me a suit to preach in if I go to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa and preach in a suit. He can. It's a lie. It's a lie. When we hear our fear saying, you can't put your whole life on the altar because God doesn't know how to take care of you, it's a lie. It's a lie. When you think that you're going to be missing out on all the fun you could have and all that your agenda holds, and that everything you have planned for you is so much better than what God has planned for you, it's a lie. It's a lie to keep you neutralized. It's a lie just to keep your life on status quo, going through the paces, in the rut. Oh, man. Hey, it don't matter if you're carnal outside of church or if you're carnal inside of church. If you're a baby outside of church or you're a baby inside of church, God has something for you to do. God has something for you to grow up. Grow up. Embrace the calling of God. Do you think He saved anybody in this world just to have them waste for 4 or 5 decades before we put them in the box and we put them in the ground and He takes them up to heaven? Do you think that's anybody's purpose? God-ordained purpose. It's not. Just like our babies grow, He wants His babies to grow. Your mama's over there, baby. She's on. Hey, Miss Gwen. Yeah. She's there. Okay. He wants our babies to grow. Did y'all see her worshiping earlier to the music? That's so cool. And now she wants to preach. She's ready to go. She's already grown. Hey, there are people who have been in church forever. I mean, literally, grew up their whole life, been in church, and they're still sitting in one of these, sitting in this chair. Still sitting in this chair. Haven't come off home base. The prison cell's open, and they're sitting on the bench. They're like, and they decorate their cell with prison with Christian stuff, and they got a cross here, and they got God Bless His Home over here, and they have all this stuff, and they say, hey, you know, it's nice, but their life is never taken over by God. These folks here, they need to yield to God. Those folks there, they need to yield to God. Those folks need to yield to God to get saved, to be born again. These folks need to yield to God and just trust Him. I trust that if I invest and I come to church and I work with God's people and I grow up past my offenses and my feelings driving my life. I heard once, and I just want to share that for this crowd. Your feelings, you need to treat them like children. Treat them like children in a car. You don't let them drive, but you don't stick them in the trunk either. Okay? Don't let them drive, but don't smash them back in the trunk. Deal with your feelings if you've been offended. Get over it. God's bigger than it. Come on. These folks here, stop being afraid. God can do more than you ever think, ask, or imagine. And then this chair here. This is the crucified life. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and yet I live. It's not, I need to read the scripture. It's not, let me read it so I don't misquote it. Is it up there? No. I didn't tell him to read this. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. This is that life. This is the crucified life. This is the life that has fully identified with Jesus Christ. Not just made a profession of faith and has gotten, you know, either, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church, or yeah, I go to church, but that's pretty much, that's what I do. It's not that. These people have said, my life is no good unless it's bringing glory to Christ. My life, unless it's being improved daily to bring glory to Christ and help my fellow men come to know Christ, that life is no good then. There's something wrong. These folks have been sold out. They don't have anything anymore. The truck that they used to own belongs to Jesus now. The house that they used to own belongs to Jesus now. The stuff in their bank account that was theirs and hard-earned, it belongs to Jesus now. Their poverty, if they have nothing, it belongs to Jesus now. Everything, their hands, their feet, their mouth, it belongs to Jesus now. It sounds extreme. But it's no more extreme than when it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is where we bring glory to God. This is where we're living by faith. This is where the world, the flesh, and the devil, they never want somebody in this chair. This is where we're praying. We're praying the way Jesus taught us in this chair. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pause. God first in our prayer. God first in the prayer of the person in this seat. God first. Your name is holy, and I pray that your will would be done on this earth as it is in heaven, and I'm willing to be a conduit of that will. Your will be done in me, not mine. Then he prays, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It starts and ends with God. There's nothing wrong with asking God for your provision. Matter of fact, God is glorified when we let him know what our needs are. Our needs are many. Our life is fragile. Our enemy is great. So we come and we pray and ask God, but God is first. You ever hear folks, have you ever heard yourself? You don't need to judge anybody. Have you ever heard yourself pray? And Lord, you know I need this, and Lord, help me with this, and Lord, they hurt my feelings, and Lord, it's about me and me and me, Lord, me, 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 me. You know, you might as well put a rhythm to it and get a little dance out of it. It's all about you. Life's all about you here. A baby doesn't know better than to cry for milk. But when you get here, we start saying, it's about you, Lord. It's all about you. Can I tell you? This is where God wants all of us. If you've been born again, he wants you in this chair. If you've come to know Christ, this is where he wants you. And just be honest. We're going to be honest with each other, right? Most of the time, I think we find ourselves in this chair. These chairs, this row. It's a battle, you see. And whenever you get up to this part, it's almost like King of the Hill. It don't just set. You don't just get there forever. You maintain it. God maintains it through his strength if you let him. But so often something will hit us, something will hit me, and it brings me right back to here. And all of a sudden, I'm in church, but I'm really just in the flesh, just really wanting what I want, going to do what I want to do. And if I don't get it because I feel entitled to it, I'm going to whine, I'm going to complain, I'm going to gripe. And then God convicts me if I don't get down to here first, where my whole mindset, even though my body may be here, my whole mindset is gone, my whole heart. And God convicts me at that point of some sin. And can I tell you, his goal isn't to build me back up to this point. His goal is to bring me back to here. This is walking in the Spirit. This is being led by God. This is where he wants us. Where are you? Where are you this morning? This isn't my ordinary sermon style. And I know there's people here who aren't usually here. Maybe that's part of the reason. Why did God bring you here this morning? This is the invitation. We're starting right now. Are you in this chair? Are you lost, estranged from Christ, the natural person? The way you can tell is that in your heart, you don't believe. In your heart, you don't have a care or a love for God. Now, you might not admit that in a group like this. But can I ask you just at least admit it to your heart if that's where you are? If it wasn't so crucial, if it wasn't so dangerous, maybe we could let it go without saying anything. But can I tell you, if you're in this place, it's a dangerous place, and you could come to know Christ, can I tell you that he's not going to hold that against you? See this chair? Do you reckon this chair and the people who sit in this chair are any less loved of God than those who sit in the other three chairs? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And while we didn't know God or love God, God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you are here and you have not been born again, if you're just vaguely sure or interested in spiritual things and thinking, I don't even know, I don't know, I don't care, I don't want to listen to this, maybe you're in this chair and it's your day to deal with God. He loves you. His arms are open wide to receive you. Come, yield yourself to the gospel, which says Christ died for you. He's willing to receive you. He'll make you a part of his family. It's a family thing with God. You know how I know? No strangers will be in heaven because it's a family thing. You got to be born again. If you're not born again, you don't go to heaven, because heaven is a family thing. If you're not a part of the family here, you're not going to be a part of the family there. If you need to have a relationship with Christ today, now's your time, okay? Now's your time. If you're a church person, if you're a carnal Christian, if you're confused, you're confusing, you're scared, you're wondering, you're not sold out. You either just show up and then that's it. It's like paying God a tithe or paying God a God dues or something. You know, it's like, hey, I pay, I show up. What does he want from me? Hey, God does not want a tithe of your life, 10%. He asks for a tithe of your income. What comes in, he asks 10%. He's not ashamed, I'm not ashamed to say it. But of your life, he wants 100%. And he doesn't take any less. 100%. Y'all hear? 100%. This Christianity, God didn't die on the cross to get you out of hell free so you could live your life like a hellion for the rest of your days. It's not why you're saved. You're saved to grow and bring glory to his life. You weren't meant to be griping outside the church. You weren't made to be afraid and griping inside the church. Grow up. Come on in. Say, be a part of this fight. And if you're here, realize who got you here and realize who keeps you here and overflow with gratitude, because the fruit of the Spirit is yours. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the benefits of those who walk near Jesus. It's its own reward. Don't be haughty. Don't be prideful. Don't be scared. Don't be ashamed either, because God has a purpose for you to take the good news of his kingdom to people who don't know. God has a purpose for you to teach our carnal brothers and sisters how to grow through the example of your life and through the preaching and teaching of the word. God has a purpose for you. It may seem lonely sometime here. It may seem like you're out of step. Just keep in step with Jesus and you're okay. Jesus might be your only friend. Sometimes God was Jesus' only friend, God the Father, remember? Everybody else split. He was there. He was by himself. It's okay. Don't be ashamed. I'm convinced of this. One, I think there's a whole lot of us in here that are in this row, but I think there's some of us in this row. And for some reason, you just ain't turned loose. Turn loose. Walk with the Lord. Do what he's called you to do. Go where he's called you to go. What if he calls you out of this church and either go to another church or go to another country or go to somewhere else? Go, go, go. It's not about building up us. It's about building the kingdom of God. Follow the Spirit. Say what you're going to say. Share what you're going to share. Teach. Do. Go. Time is short. Do you hear the Spirit of God saying that? Do you listen to the news and hear the Spirit of God saying, time is short? We got to stop pretending either like we're babies or like we're grown-ups who don't want to act grown. Just come on and go. You don't need permission from me. You don't need permission from any church. You have been commissioned by God through his word to go. Amen? Go. Now close your eyes before you go. Are you in that lost chair? Are you in that first chair? I've explained it well enough. If you're in that chair and you know that, God's revealed that to you, would you raise your hand up that I might pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. If you're in chair number one and you have not been born again, you are fearful of the time of judgment, or you're not even mindful of the time of judgment whatsoever. If that's you, would you raise your hand that I might pray for you? If you're in these seats, if you're a carnal Christian, if you have refused to grow, refused to take the nourishment of the word, and you're hiding outside a church, or you're hiding inside a church just doing your thing, would you raise your hand up that I might pray for you? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for giving patience to your body even today. Because who am I to chastise a soul? But you want us to grow. Growth is your plan. Growth is for your glory. Help all those who raise their hand right now, Lord, not to take on shame, but take on the shame offering. Jesus Christ is our shame offering. Jesus Christ is our guilt offering. Jesus Christ is our sanctification, our wisdom, our righteousness from God. Father, I pray that for those who raise their hand. I pray that for those who are carnal and they know it. They know they're not in a place where God have them be. And Lord, be with them. Fill them up. Strengthen them. Thank you for their being here. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your blood applies to them. And Lord, grow them up. You have a great destiny for them. Grow them up. Now I wonder if you're in this last chair. It might be hard to raise your hand. It seems like either extreme might be hard to raise your hand. But if you're in this chair, would you raise your hand up if God revealed that to you, that I might pray for you? Amen. Amen. Father God, I pray for those who you've called to maturity. It's not for themselves. It's not for our own boasting. It's not for a trophy. It's not for a platform or a position. It's to glorify Christ. This is the only chair in this life that God gets glory from. That's it. That's it. God gets glory in this chair right here. In this life, this is where we get glory to you. Because we've yielded it, because we've looked to you, and we were more impressed with you than we were with anything else in this world, and we yielded this day and every day forward to your glory. Father, help us. Help us in the struggle. Father, when we get caught in the flesh, when we get blindsided, and we get wrapped up in ourselves, Father, help us to quickly repent, because the church needs mature Christians. Leading. This world needs mature Christians witnessing. Help us, Father. Help those of us who are mature. Find those who are confused in the world and in the church, and to show them through love and patience, more by example than by speaking, that there is a way to find full joy in Christ. Lord, we love you. Oh, we love you. Thank you for how you love us. Do your work in this church, and we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come down for the morning offering. And I just want to let you know, wherever you are, God has a plan and a purpose for you. This sermon wasn't to bring guilt or shame on you. I know my voice is telling me that I spoke hard. I preached hard. I'm not going to apologize, but I want you to know that God loves you. He has a purpose for you, and wherever you are, yield to him. Just yield to him. It might look like this. Here I am. Send me. Father God, as we take up this offering, as we move forward, would you just bless us as we give? Remind us who gave us the ability to give. And help us to turn it all over to you for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.